guy to please don't discuss these meetings with Utah, that he'd gone to Utah to show how smart he was and said that one thing about it, the strongest man that stands up to tell the president where to head in is Arthur Goldberg. And he really cut McCloy's throat from ear to ear. I'd never want to see McCloy if I felt like that he really motivated that way. He wanted to know what I thought about the UN, and I told him I didn't. I thought we had to have a school, and I believed in schools, and I believed in trying to teach people, and I didn't think that when you taught a boy sit-up exercises, you necessarily had an All-American. But if you taught him sit-up exercises, someday he could be an All-American, and that someday we might get some results out of it. We couldn't now, but I didn't feel as hopeful as I would like to feel. And I felt when he went there that maybe we could improve ourselves a little bit and our standing with them. Then he pointed out that he didn't say that he had recommended he didn't claim credit for forcing the United Nations, although he won't remind me that he and Rusk had insisted on it and that this had to go to the United Nations, and he had felt so all the time. And I said, now listen, I don't want any of that. I ordered you to go to the United Nations. I ordered Rusk to go, and I said, now we've gone every other goddamn place and we're going. And you weren't for it, and you were against it, and you thought it was against it, and Rusk were against it. Every damn one of you were against it. And don't go to telling me now, writing history and making me believe something, because I'm not in my doties yet. I remember what happens and what people say to me. He said, well, that is correct, but you know I wrote a memorandum.
He was on both sides in a good safe position.
So I said yes, but I didn't think he was on both sides until he heard the side we were going to take. Am I wrong in that?
Oh, no, sir. He'd been three ways. He was for going in, then you told him to check it out with Utah. This is back last summer. He came back and said solemnly, don't do that.
Yeah.
And that's where he was until you pushed us all at the end of the pause.
And I think that everybody was against it at that time.
That's right. And it wouldn't have happened without your needle. Yeah, just so. No question.
Well, let's see that he understands that, so he doesn't get... But anyway, this was a long thing that I guess you ought to know about. I don't know that we need him. If he's in town, we might give some thought.
I'd better ask him, I guess. I think we should, probably. I'm sure that, like every other human being in the world, he acts better if he's in on the takeoffs.
So then we want the... Now, one thing about it, you will not get anything forthcoming from Rusk for that big a meeting.
No,
he has talked to me at good length.
I can't stand it until there are more than four in the room. That's true. Now, what we could do is you have 5 minutes with him on the phone ahead of time and have the meeting without him on the ground that he has got a cold. Or we could have two meetings. We can have a larger meeting, and then you can take up, say, the Kintner matter or any other.
Now, we would
matter.
Want to take up the briefing and the vice president. We would want to take up the Kintner matter.
Incidentally, anybody you ask to this meeting will want to come to that one. I mean, a fellow like Goldberg will.
Yes, I think that's right. I think we'll probably have to have him there.
Then it seems to me you want to talk about the resolution matter, or is your mind pretty well right up on that?
I don't know what to do about that. I think we ought to discuss the resolution. I think he has an idea that he wants to write a resolution. Have you seen his?
No.
Would you bring yours, the one you wrote?
Mm-hmm.
And would you
no
get
your?
Would do, I know, but bring it so we can see what we considered. And would you? Get your thoughts organized on how you would recommend on that?
I know where I come out, Mr. Brown.
Where?
I would hope that Morris presses his rescission, and without that, I would sit back and let the brethren press their resolutions, and then I would see what they brought in, and I would either knock them down or make them amend, depending on what they brought in. I think that they can't carry a bad resolution. I think you're much stronger in the Senate than that. And I don't think there's anything you want to be asking them to do.
Well, I think before you conclude now, let me give you the benefit of what Fulbright says.
Yeah.
Now, you ought to bear in mind that one of the most bitter anti-president man in the Senate's full right.
Just by nature.
You also want to bear in mind that he is utterly disgusted with Eisenhower. If you say Eisenhower is polite, he'll say, I think you're a boob. He will not admit that the man is even polite. Now, why, I don't know. He has never liked me as a person, and he has always been envious of me. And for instance, he told Jack Valenti on the trip to Brazil, he said, I not only have a terrible committee, none of them will work and none of them any good, but said I have the responsibility of educating the presidents.
My God.
And that, he said, I had this problem. I had to try to educate Kennedy. I never did get him educated, but had to. The Bay of Pigs, I tried to. It's a process of the education, he says, of a president. Now, he says the president shouldn't be irritated. I did see him the day before I made my Dominican speech, and I didn't mention it. And he talked about the Dominican Republic, and I said, well, I have some ideas on it and so forth, but I didn't go into them. But he said, I considered that speech part of my duty in the process of the education of a president. Now, he honestly feels that. Now, let me show you what he said. I don't hold this present administration responsible for what happened there. The problem started in 51 when we got in and substituted our role for the French. Everything has escalated since then, and our president is not responsible. He has acted in the most patient and is commendable and in commendable restraint. And I only hope he can keep his military and Stennis in step with him. He admitted to a deficiency in Asian affairs. I've started to read books about China, but I'm starting very late. But said he does not believe that China is capable of carrying on aggression for aggression's sake. She pulled back from India very quickly. She got out of Korea. She cannot afford to maintain long-range commitments anywhere. She'll grow up over the years. He did not believe that white men of Western stock can ever build a decent order in Vietnam. We just don't belong there. We're alien to their culture. The French have failed, and where they fail, we will fail. He admitted to skepticism about the possibility of winning the war. Even maintaining the conflict at the present level frightens me greatly, and extreme pessimism about winning a political and social struggle. He admitted to no solutions, and he accepted the thesis that we should not pull out. We must get to the bargaining table, and we can only do that if we convince the other side of our sincerity. As we put in more men and as we increase the bombing, how can they believe that we ever want peace? We have to convince them that our objective is not victory, but compromise. He suggests the way to attempt this would be to send a secret emissary. I told you that. He does not know what is next to send. He wants hearings on China and the future of our policy, but is not sure there is enough interest in the subject. Now, I think we ought to take any so-called expert in the China, in the government, and have them in for an hour or two meeting and have them prepared to analyze what they think about China.
Yeah, could I?
Yes.
The best man to get there, Mr. President, and we ought really, if we can persuade him, to let him not go back to Harvard, but stop when he stops being ambassador in Japan, come and be the Tommy Thompson of China, is Reischauer. Yeah. He's cool. Do you know him?
No.
Well, you ought to check him out with others, because I'm such an old friend, I'm not a good judge. But he's cool, he's patient, he'd have these guys respect, and he's tough about China. So I'd like, my brother Bill is feeling him out on this, and one of the things Reischauer said was, well, he didn't have much communication with the secretary, and he didn't know whether you really had confidence in him, and I'd like to say, well, come and try us out.
I don't know. I don't know him well enough to know, but I'm sure willing to try, and I'm willing to ride on
Rust has great
on Bell's judgment and on yours, if okay. That is your judgment, and if it's solid, I would gamble,
you
and I'd hope that yours is probably better than a good many of mine, and we at least...
You ought to feel him out, is the thing. Now that we've got the people in town on this, or are all over Hell's Kitchen in the variety of their opinions. Ray Klein has unfortunately lost Rayburn's confidence, and that makes him hard.
Yes, and he has been, I've run into a lot of bad track from him, I'm sorry to say.
I'm sorry.
Yes, he's been, telling people things he oughtn't to say after working in the government. Is he the fellow that's going to Berlin or
going
on? He's been spreading stuff for the enemy all around town, and it's bad. I've been intending to look into that.
I wish you'd told me about it before, because I
he just he just ought to be asked to be very discreet in his conversation.
I needed it yesterday on just that point.
He just got to be. Now,
Rayburn
is not the enemy of Klein, not the source of it, and no problem. And Rayburn's recommendations and judgments to me, and I have seen a good deal of Rayburn, alone, just sit and talk to him. And if anything, he has too much confidence in his people.
Yeah.
And he's too complimentary of them, and he feels that they're doing too well. And he is totally oblivious to the fact that he is not highly regarded and that he is not doing a good job. He thinks that he's made a great improvement and he's a great success. And I'm afraid Helms lets him think that, and I'm afraid that others tell him that, and I think that...
That's a better way for it to be, though. That makes it easier to deal with when and if you get ready to. Clark is your best counselor on that. He's very thoughtful about it, and very watchful.
Well, anyway, let's get this. Now, the third thing, then, after we get the resolution over with, I think we ought to talk a little bit about your ideas of exactly what these agriculture people are going to do and exactly what these education and health people are going to do.
We've got to get Dave Bell if we're going to do that.
Yes, I think so. And I think that I think we've got to get into that a little bit, and I still believe that we've got to use the mechanism of the military to furnish us with agricultural specialists, with medical specialists, with health specialists, and with everything else. And
Bob is very resistant, as you could see the other day.
Well, he says that I didn't get that he was. I gather that he felt that they should talk to him instead of me.
Well, I told that to Orville. I said, now, for God's sake, make your peace with Bob and talk it out with him. And he said he would 2 days ago, and I haven't heard back.
Well, let's put that down as another item. I think we ought to put down the 16 senators, and then we ought to list another list, the big doubters. And I would put the big doubters, Fulbright and...
Bobby.
And the two Kennedys, and Muskie, and Inouye, and Bobby, and...
Muskie sounded good when I talked to him the
other day. Well, he made a good speech, but he signed that report.
Wait,
I don't understand.
Which
the
report?
Mansfield report.
Oh, so he did. So he did.
And I think we have to see how we talk to these groups. I would also like to get a report from Rusk on his meeting with Senator. Did you get it?
Yes, I did. I talked to him yesterday about it. He said they cut and chopped each other pretty hard back and forth. There's one paragraph of it in your State Department night reading. The same thing that they said to the Fulbright said to Moyers, they said to him that the thing that would most help would be a private session with you for the Foreign Relations Committee. They're very hard on him for having taken, they thought, too tough a line. They picked up the Reston column that Rusk is a crusader all alone against 80 countries and so forth, and we're giving him time on that. He was pretty firm back with them, he told us, I would say, though, he poked them pretty hard as to whether none of them want to get out, and they're all nervous about China. It's very much like the Fulbright thing.
Hoover says that we're going to have a very explosive slugging match from the Hawks. That it's showing up in the attitude toward the demonstrators. It's showing up in the conversations. That it's no longer just in the control of the Ku Klux Klan and Rockwell and groups of that kind. It's all the veterans, but it's business groups and it's lawyer groups. And he cited the bar yesterday as being unanimous on the Morse thing.
Yeah.
And he says that when Morse says that they need a freshman course in international law, that is not inclined to assuage them. And he says that we better get ready for that danger. And I was much surprised he wasn't leading it. He was very much like he was on civil rights.
It's been pretty good.
He was temperate.
With you?
With civil rights, he was. He said he'd go and do whatever I asked him to do, and I sent him Mississippi, and he's done it. And
that way the Dominican Republic has been sending these terrible reports, but he's very sensitive.
Nick has handled him better than any attorney general.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think any of them like him, and I think when they tell him that, that shows. If I don't like you, the other fellow knows it, and he reflects it. And he never calls me. I